that it was time to tell his son the facts of life. Yeah, I hear that. It took considerable courage, but the father invited his son into the living room after dinner. After some hesitation, he said, "Son, I'd like to discuss with you some of the facts of life." And son looked at him and he said, "Oh, fine, Dad. What would you like to know?" Oh, my. Well, today is Father's Day, and I just want one gift for Father's Day. One gift. One gift. Yeah, and Jeff knows what it is, I'm sure. He's looking at me like he knows. One gift for Father's Day. A Cavs win! Cavs win. That's all I want for Father's Day. That's all I want. So are you all in? Amen. Amen. This is Father's Day. So this morning, I thought we would take a look, just set our thoughts a little bit on the most revered father in all of human history. And so take your Bibles, open them up to Genesis chapter 22. And that father, 2 billion people, over 2 billion people, the Muslims, Christians, and Jews call Abraham father. And Abraham, Genesis 22, some of the background. You remember that God called Abraham. And when he called him, his name was Abram, which means high or exalted father. Later, he would change his name to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. And God made him a promise and changed his name and said, "I'm going to make you a father of a multitude." But just imagine how Abraham would feel having that name, high exalted father, or father of a multitude. Someone comes up to him and says, "Oh, what's your name?" "Abraham." "Oh, Abraham, how many children do you have?" And he blushes behind his beard and he says, "No children, no children." But God had made him a promise, and he received that promise when he was 75 years old. He waited 25 years for that promise to even begin to be fulfilled. And Abraham's 100 years old. Sarah's 90 years old, far past childbearing age. And yet God moves in and supernaturally intervened. Sarah bore a son, Isaac. And the son of promise. God had made that promise. Everything that Abraham had hoped for, everything that he believed, was wrapped up in that child's life. And then God tested Abraham. And we read about it. And why don't you stand up as we read chapter 22, verses 1 through 13. "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. And said to him, 'Abraham,' said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you.' So Abraham arose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there and we will worship and return to you.' Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, 'My father.' He said, 'Here I am, my son.' He said, 'Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?' Abraham said, 'God will provide himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad. Do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Lord, as we look at these words today, we want to acknowledge first, this is the word of God. This is truth. This is history. And Lord, you have put down this truth for us. These things have been written for us to learn and to admonish, be admonished and exhorted. So Lord, today, as we look at these words, would you speak to our hearts here this morning and help us to hear your voice and help us to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Again, in this text, Genesis 22, we have the seventh time that God had appeared to Abraham. Seven times, seven tests that he gave to Abraham. And this word here, and I want to just mention this because in the King James Version, it says that God tempted Abraham, but the word means to test. You know, the Bible says God never tempts anyone, James 1. He doesn't tempt, but he does test. Oh, yeah. He does test us, his people. And he tested Abraham seven times. And this last test was the greatest of all the tests. Greatest of all the tests. And I thought about that. And, you know, as we mature in the Lord, the tests have to get harder. They have to be harder. It's just like Andy. Andy just graduated from high school. But the tests he's taken, I'm sure, harder tests than when you were in first grade. Amen? Amen. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you grow and you mature, the tests have to get harder. And this was a tough test. A tough test. He's the father here of all who believe. And God says, take your son, your only son, and give him as an offering. What a test. And in this test, I think we see some characteristics of a good father. That's what I want to share with us this morning. Now, this is really characteristics of a good father or a good mother or even a good Christian. So this is for all of us here today. But what are these characteristics? What is a good father like? What was he like? He's the father of all of us who believe, and he's a good father. What is a good father like? Let me give you five things this morning. Number one, he was a listening father, a listening father. Three times in this chapter, Abraham listens. Abraham listens first to God, then he listens to his son, then he listens to the angel of the Lord. First of all, he listened to God. And you know what? A good father listens to God. A good mother listens to God. A good Christian listens to God. And I thought about that. You know, today we are so distracted. We are so harried, hurried, hassled, busy, bothered, bustling. You know what? Sometimes it's hard to listen to God. Sometimes we get so caught up in life, we forget to listen to God. But good fathers will take the time to listen to God. And you know what? God's still speaking today. God is still speaking. How does he speak? Well, he speaks through his word. Huh? I'll tell you, that's the primary way that God speaks today, is through the Word of God. That's why a good father is in the Word. It has to be in the Word. And I'll tell you, every time you open up the book, you just pray, God, let me hear your voice. Speak to me, God. And God speaks through his Word. He also, you know how else he speaks? He speaks through nature. He speaks through nature, doesn't he? I was talking to my neighbor yesterday, and I said, man, how beautiful it is out here. You know, the seraphim said, you remember what in Isaiah 6? He said, the glory of the Lord fills the earth. Yeah. And you know what? It does. It does. Do you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You're going to think I'm crazy. But my flowers talk to me. They do. I'm down there with my flowers, and they look up and they say, look at me. Look at the design of the designer. Look at the beauty of the Lord and the glory of his holiness. Look at, you know why God made me? I heard him say. You know why God made me? Because he wanted to bless you. My flowers talk. I know that's, you're going to call the men in white coats, but they do. And the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you, God's speaking in nature. And every once in a while, he even speaks on Sunday morning through a sermon. Every once in a while. I heard it was a good sermon last week. And God spoke. Praise God. Are we listening? Are we listening? Because you see, a good father listens to God. Good mother, good Christian. He also listened to his son. 3 times Abraham listened and he responded with the phrase, here I am, here I am. You know, it takes a lot of listening to make a good home. Dads listening to moms. Moms listening to dads. Moms and dads listening to kids. And kids listening to their parents. It takes a lot of listening to make a good home. Yes. It's important to listen even to our children. Is that important? Yes. You can learn a lot from your kids. Really listen. I remember hearing James Dobson back years ago. He told the story of one dad. He's reading the newspaper. And his little son came up and said, Dad, Dad. He said, what? He said, Dad, Dad. What? Dad, I want to talk to you. Dad, what? And the son took his hand and took the newspaper and went, listen to me with your eyes.
Amen.
You know what? It takes a lot of listening in the home. Or another little boy that came to his dad once and said, Dad, Dad. And the dad said, what? And he said, Dad, I love you. That was one of my sons. You know, I know sometimes when they come and they're always at you and everything, it's hard. But you know what? We need to take time to listen. We need to take time to listen to teenagers if they'll talk to you. But we need to, he listened to his son. He listened. And that communicates worth to our family, our children. It says, you know what? You're important to me. And you and your interests are significant. So he listened to God. He listened to his son. And he listened to the angel of the Lord. And you see that down there? Angel of the Lord, down in verse 11. I think that is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And he came, and as Abraham raised the knife to kill his son. He's on the altar. He's bound. He's on the altar. He raises the knife, and he says, Abraham, Abraham. You know, that's a double call. You know what? There's double calls in Scripture. Abraham, Jacob, Jacob, Samuel, Samuel, New Testament, Simon, Simon, Martha, Martha, Saul, Saul. They're double calls. You know what that is? That's like when a mother uses your first and middle name. Jeffrey David Sutherland? wants to get your attention, right? When your mom uses both your names, you better perk up, right? Abraham, Abraham, here I am. And he said, you know, don't kill your son. This is a test, only a test. Don't kill him. And Abraham listened to the angel of the Lord. And boy, was Isaac glad he did. He was glad he was listening to the Lord, or he'd have been dead. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be a good father, you got to be a good listener. Got to be a good listener. Secondly, he was not only a listening father, he was a loving father. He was a loving father. Abraham, take your son, your only son, the son whom thou lovest. Son whom thou lovest. You know, this is the first mention of love in the Bible. And this is a principle of, I think, of hermeneutics, of Bible interpretation. You want to know what something means. Go back, or the deep significance of a principle. Go back to first reference. This is the first reference of love in the Bible. And it's not love of God for man. It's not love for a man for his wife, or a wife for her husband, or parent love for children. Really, it's the love of a father for a son. Now, that's significant. If you go ahead to the New Testament, the first reference in the New Testament to love, does anybody know where that is? Matthew chapter 3, at the baptism of Jesus, God the Father says, this is my beloved son. I love this boy. I love my son in whom I'm well pleased. Again, in the New Testament, it's love for a father, for his son. And then if you scoot over to the book of John, the Gospel of John, first reference of love is what? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. That's significant. God loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice his son for us. This is the love of a father for his son. A good father loves his son. And you see this, the intensity, I think, of this love here of a father-son relationship. It's brought out by the fact that the word son in these 13 verses is mentioned 10 times. Look at verse 2. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go into the land of Moriah. Down in verse 6, Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. Verse 7, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. It's that love relationship and the closeness. Verses 6 and 8 have this one phrase. If you look at the end of verse 6 and verse 8, it says, so the two of them walked on together. Together. There's this bond, this father-son love and bond. And men, if we're going to be good fathers, we got to love our kids. How do you do it? Well, number one, spend time with them. Yeah. Okay, that's the one thing my dad told me when we had our sons. He said, Les, he said, spend time with your kids. Spend time with your sons. He said, Les, I'm going to tell you, one day you're going to blink and they're going to be up. They're going to be gone. And parents, isn't that true? Yes. I'll tell you, I blinked and they're up. In fact, my oldest son is going to be celebrating his 37th birthday in August, which is a miracle because I'm still 39. But miracles do happen. They're up. But you know what? I never had someone come to me and say, boy, at the end of their life, boy, I wish I'd have spent more time at the office. I wish I'd have spent more time building my business. But I've had people come out those doors and say, Pastor, I wish I'd have spent more time with my family and my kids. Spend time with them. And develop a relationship with them. I mean, communicate with them if they will communicate with you. I mean, and women understand this. Us guys, we do it differently than you do. We don't sit down and say, let's have a discussion. How are you today? No, we don't do that generally. We take them fishing. And while we're fishing and in between the catch, we, hey, how's it going? And we start to communicate a little bit between grunts. And or we take them golfing and driving down the 17th fairway. You know, how's it going, son? Anything I can pray for you? And, you know, things come up like that. But we don't generally do it the way you do it. I mean, some do, I guess. But most of us, again, we don't do that. But try to communicate a little bit. And that's a two-way street. Because sometimes kids don't communicate real well with their parents either. Or don't want to. But make that effort. Communicate with them that God has a plan for their life. I really think that's important. You know, son, God has a special plan for you. And no one else can do that plan or work that plan like you do. Tell them that. That's true. And tell them you love them. Amen. You know, I'm not ashamed to do that with my boys. I tell them, I love you. I do. I love you. We have this kind of special thing. Some of you don't know about it, but we have a special hug we do. We kind of go up, you know, and okay, go, 1, 2, 3, huh? It's a guy thing, you know, it's a guy thing. But it's okay to do that. I mean, it's okay to hug. I know some older people have a hard time with that. And I go up to try to, I'll say, how you doing? Don't go. I don't care if you don't like that or not. You know what? I do it with my boys and with my close friends, and I might even do it with you, and so just be warned. But you know what? Tell them you love them. Amen. Tell them you love them. And you know what? Another thing a loving father will do, discipline their kids. You know, wait till your mother gets home. No. You know what? We have to do that. Because you know what? The Heavenly Father, He chastises and disciplines those whom He loves. That's a loving thing, to discipline. Not abuse. We know that. You know, out in the sign it says, love, tough and tender. I like that. God's love is tough and tender. And that's how we have to discipline, but we have to do it with a tender heart. And that's important. And then I think just show interest in the things that interest them. You know, show interest. I remember John MacArthur. I remember hearing this years ago. He said, I go to my kids' games, they come to my sermons. I thought, that's pretty good, you know? And so you go to their games. So you go to their presentations, and you show an interest in what interests them. Love them! I'll tell you what, I hope and pray that my sons, one thing they knew and know, that their mom and dad love them. We love them. I'd die in a minute for any one of my kids. But a good father is a listening father. A good father is a loving father. Thirdly, a good father is an obedient father. Obedient father. Verses 2 and 3. You know, I can imagine Abraham's surprise when God says, you know, sacrifice your son. And this is a real test here, folks. And the test is the conflict between the promise of God and the command of God. Because He promised, He said, this is the son of the promise. This is, you know, through Isaac, you know, I'm going to give you a heritage. I'm going to give you as many children as the stars of the sky. And I'm going to bless the world through this boy. Take him and kill him. Wait a second. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel the tension between the promises of God that you know in Scripture and maybe the command of God or circumstances. There's a tension. But look what Abraham did. He rose up early, verse 3. You know what that is? That's the way the Hebrews used to say to do something earnestly, strenuously, thoroughly, willingly. Abraham didn't question, he didn't argue, he didn't debate, he didn't hesitate, but he got up early and split the wood. He got up early to obey God's command. Obedience means doing what God's desires no matter how I feel. Doing it promptly. Knowing, you know what? Delayed obedience is disobedience. Amen. Got up early. God wants, he doesn't want necessarily our comprehension, but he wants our commitment. You know, there's a lot of things today I don't understand. I just feel like the older I get, the dumber I'm getting. I used to have the answers, and now I have more questions than answers. But God doesn't call us always to comprehend. He calls us to obedience. One author writes, duties are men's reasons, and the results are God's. And Abraham obeyed, because although he loved his son, he loved God more. Man, this is the best thing. Listen, I think this is one of the best things we can leave our kids. One of the best things we can leave our families is a life of obedience to God from the heart. To live, to do what he says is the best thing I can leave to my children and family. And by the way, as we are obedient to God, you know what that becomes? That becomes the foundation of spiritual authority in the home. Because if I'm not obeying God, why should my son obey me? Do as I say, not as I do. No spiritual authority. People say, oh, that's hypocrisy. And our kids, especially teenagers, see right through that, don't they? Oh yeah, they do. But when you obey God, you have spiritual authority in the home. And that's a good father who has that spiritual authority and can say, follow me as I follow Christ and am obedient to the Lord. A good father is a listening father, a loving father, an obedient father. Number four, a good father, he was a trusting father, a trusting father. He obeyed out of love, but he obeyed out of faith and trust in God. He was a man of faith and trust. You remember earlier, much earlier, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He was a man of faith and God gave him this promise of a son. And as the years went by, I mean 25 years, you know what the Bible says? He wavered not in unbelief. I think as the time went on, I might be saying, you know, is God really going to do this? Abraham didn't do that. Now, he did kind of mess up thinking he had to help God out. But he didn't waver in unbelief. He believed God said it. God's going to do it. So God said, go to the land of Moriah and on a mountain there. And I think that mountain, you know, what that mountain... I think was Mount Calvary. Other people say it's the Temple Mount where the Dome of the Rock is now. But I think it was the Mount Calvary. Go there, take your son, take Isaac, and kill him. But Abraham believed. You see verse 5? Look at verse 5. This is important. He demonstrates faith. Because at the end of that verse, he says... and I and the land will go yonder and will worship and come again to you. Wait a second. If we're going to go up on that mountain and I'm going to kill Isaac, how in the world could Isaac and Abraham come back? Abraham had it figured out, didn't he? Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, in verses 17 through 19. Here's what Abraham believed. It says, by faith, when Abraham was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him as a figure or a type. You see what he said? He said, well, wait a second. Promise. God said it's in Isaac that your seed's going to be blessed. He's the son of the promise. God said, go kill him. God must be able to raise him from the dead. That's faith. Why is that faith? Because to this point in his human history, no one had ever risen from the dead. No one. It was 100%. You died, you were buried, you were gone. But Abraham said, God must be able to raise people from the dead. And folks, that is faith. That is trust. He trusted God, that God, listen, could do the impossible. And so do we trust like that? Mom and Dad, listen, some of you are going through things in your family right now that are extremely difficult, painful. You don't see any way out. You don't understand. Your situation and the promises of God don't seem to kind of go together here. What are we going to do? Are we going to believe God? Are we going to trust God? The God who can still do the impossible. That's what we got to do. Fathers, we got to trust God. Even when everything screams out that this doesn't make sense. We got to trust Him. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far beyond all we ask or think. Amen. A good father, a good mother, is a trusting father or mother, a trusting Christian. We've got to trust God. He was a listening father, a loving father. He was an obedient father. He was a trusting father. And number five, he was a sacrificing father. A sacrificing father. Again, in the Mount in Moriah, I would say that that's Mount Calvary. They get to this mountain, and it says that Abraham put this wood on his son. And they started up the hill. He would come to the top and build an altar. And he would bind his son. The Jews call this the Akedah, the binding. They say it's a picture of total submission, because here you have maybe 113-year-old man and a teenage boy. And Isaac allows him to bind him. He's placed on the altar. What a picture of total submission. And what a beautiful picture of what happened 2,000 years later. Because God's son, they placed wood on him. The cross. And he was taken out and led away to an altar and put on that altar. And he did it what? Willingly. He allowed men to put him on the cross. He said, I could call 10 legions of angels. But he didn't. He went to the altar. But you know what? No angel intervened. And God the Father put his wrath down on his son. And Jesus said, Isaac said, Father, I see the fire. I see the wood. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? And John the Baptist said, Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This is a type. Amen. We have scripture authority to say that. This is a type. This is a picture. Amen. Of what would happen one day. And when Abraham placed Isaac on that altar, he did it in total submission to God and his will. And there lay on that altar all his hopes, all his dreams, all his ambitions, his precious son. And he was willing to sacrifice him out of love and obedience to God, because he had God first in his heart. He had God first in his heart. And when you have God first in your heart, listen, there is no sacrifice too great. Amen. There's a song, Is Your All on the Altar? And it reads like this. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed, but you cannot find rest or be totally blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Does your heart, the spirit, control? You can only be blessed and find peace and sweet rest when your all on the altar is laid. You see, Abraham laid his all on the altar. You know what? Abraham was all in.
Amen.
He was all in with God. And you know what? If we're going to be the kind of fathers and the kind of mothers, the kind of Christians that God wants us to be, you know what? We got to be all in.
Amen.
He was a listening father, a loving father, an obedient father. He was a trusting father, and he was all in.
Yes.
What an example for us. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Lord, we just bow before you this morning and thank you for the example of Abraham. He was not a perfect man, none of us are. But Lord, I do think he was a man of God, a man of faith. And Lord, I pray today that you would help us. Help the dads here. Help me, Lord, to be more all in, Lord, not holding anything back, but place everything on the altar, Lord, because these times call for desperate decisions and means. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to be all that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.